All right, when you hear that lick on the guitar, you know what time it is. It is time for the next episode of the Church Marketing Podcast. My name is Dave Schrein, and summer is in full swing, y'all. Very excited for everything that I have coming up this summer. What do you have coming up this summer? In a few days, I'm going to be driving out to California. I've got a gathering with some other church communicators that I'm very excited to attend. And on the way back from that California event, I am stopping in the beautiful city of San Diego. Anybody who has been out to San Diego, especially in contrast to Arizona, knows that it is definitely the relaxation point when it comes to June in the summertime. Not only am I going to spend an evening in San Diego, that evening is going to be at Petco Park watching the San Diego Padres take on my Arizona Diamondbacks. I love baseball, and there is no better time to watch baseball than in the summer when there's absolutely nothing else going on. I guess the World Cup is going on, but hashtag who cares? I would imagine some of you guys care out there, so I ain't trying to rain on your parade. But it's just one of those deals where it's kind of like the Winter Olympics. When it comes around, people pay attention, but after that, wait another 4 years. So if you're a big soccer fan, hey, I'm glad that you're able to indulge in the World Cup. Let me know when I should be tuning in. And for the rest of us, baseball it is. After I get back from San Diego, I'm actually traveling out to Kentucky. Hold the Kentucky jokes. I don't want to hear it. I've been hearing it my whole life. Just say the joke to yourself inside your head and laugh, because I've heard every single one of them. But either which way, all my family's from Kentucky. There's been a lot of babies born in my family this year, and it's very exciting for us that we are all getting together back in Kentucky for the first time in a long time. So that's what I've got coming up, and that is why you are listening to this episode of the Church Marketing Podcast ahead of time. We've been on a one-month schedule, but here we are, the second episode in June. And like I said, that's because I will be heading out of town. So I wanted to get you this church marketing goodness before I left for town. And quite honestly, before you left for the 4th of July or any other vacation, so you could have it on your iPhone, on your Android, or wherever you're listening from. Wanted to make sure that you had it, so as you're traveling, you can tune in. So something that's been on my heart and on my mind lately has been the concept of collaboration. Collaboration, this idea of getting together in a room with other people and putting together the best of what everybody has to offer. We've talked often about how being in church communications can be alone because there's nobody else on staff who can relate and has the same role, the same responsibility that you do. Collaboration is something that is so difficult for us to find as church communicators. But the truth of the matter is that you have got to find people who you can talk through your plans, your dreams, your aspirations, your goals for yourself and your department. Last week, I took an entire day with a friend to collaborate and to talk about her dreams for her business. She has a photography business, and we talked about everything that she wants her business to be. Now, I am a part-time photographer. Actually, I shouldn't even say that. I'm an amateur photographer, so I have some interest. So it would be a lie to say that I don't have any interest at all. But really, as far as it comes to running a business, I don't have an interest in running that type of business. That's so far from my wheelhouse. Yet, coming together with my friend and spending 6 or 7 hours just dreaming about what goals, what aspirations she could have for her business, how she could grow and lean into the talent that God has given her. It was so invigorating and it was so exciting for both of us. So let me ask you, are you making decisions for your church, for your church's communication, for your church's creative space? Are you making those decisions on your own? Because when you go in solo and when you do not bring other people in to that collaboration process, you miss out on the gifts that other people have. You miss out on the perspective that they have from where they are coming from. You miss out on the insight that they could be contributing to your goals, to your team. You miss out on the experiences that they've had up until that point. And most of all, you miss out on their strengths. I am not 100% strong in every single area of church communications. I have other people who I lean on to get things done. And you would say, but Dave, you're at a bigger church. You're at a church of over 1,500 people. You have a staff that's bigger. I'm a volunteer at a church. I volunteer 10 hours a week, and I'm the only person in church communications. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. I want to challenge you to find people in your life who you have genuine goodwill, good relationship towards, and who is just creative. It doesn't even have to be communication creative. It's just creative at heart, creative energy, creative spirits. And I want you to schedule at least a once a month, 1 hour time span where you can just talk through all of the things that you have going on. Talk about your challenges. Talk about the things that you are going up against, and talk about the goals that you have and the things that you want to see accomplished in the next month, in the next 2 months for your department. Even if you have no one, you've got to find someone. One, there is joy in the camaraderie of being able to just talk about what's on your heart with another person. But two, like I said, they are going to bring a perspective, a unique perspective, unlike anybody else. Now, let me give you an example of how I did this at my prior church. We started a brand new Sunday service. It was a brand new experience. It was in a different venue. It was in a different demographic. It was with different music. Everything about this experience was different. And so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't cruising with only my input, with only my thoughts of what success looked like. So I put together what I called a target team. And these people were folks who I knew I could trust to have an objective third opinion. They were attending this experience. I had a relationship with them. They had nothing to do with church administration. They had nothing to do with putting on the experience. They were completely neutral third party people. But once a month we got together in a room with dinner, and we just talked about the last 3 weeks, what has worked, what didn't work, what did we like, what did we not like, and just practical things that I would have never discovered on my own. One of those things, the chairs were too close together. Now, it's not one of those Monday morning fan mail where the chairs were too close together. You know what I'm talking about. It wasn't that. They said it's genuinely hard to find a seat because there's so many people in there and the chairs are so close together that I can't move down the aisle to an empty seat. So that's one example of finding people to collaborate with even when you have nobody. The other example is, you've heard me talk about it before, my creative communication team. This is a team that gets together once a week and we just talk through ways that we can become creative in communication, primarily social media. Last episode, I talked about the community questions that we do as a church. Those were birthed out of the creative communication team. So who can you invite into your creative process? Who can you invite into your realm and begin exchanging ideas and sharing your heart with that person? You've got to bring other people into the fold. You cannot do it alone. You will fail on your own. You may not fail at doing a week in and week out job, but what you will fail at is realizing the potential of what could be done, what could be happening, the results you could be experiencing if you had another person speaking into what it is that you're doing. So ask yourself that question. Who can I ask tomorrow? Who can I ask in the next couple days to sit down for an hour and just share what my dreams are for my communication at my church? So if we've connected at all prior to this church communication podcast, you'll know one thing that I'm pretty hip on is a website that was designed and is kept up just for the staff at my church. I call it a staff website, and that website is mpforms.org. Now, I give you the address, and my only request giving you that address is that you not fill out any forms or leave any marks at all. No comments, anything like that. Just because it is a working website for my staff. If you fill out a form just to experiment and see how it goes, it will go to 8 or 9 different people on staff and they will wonder what the heck is going on. So mpforms.org is the staff website that I am redoing, revisioning for my church. And what is mpforms.org? Well, essentially, it is a central hub where everybody on staff can get static information, information that pretty much doesn't change. I'm a big fan of video tutorials, and I'll have people ask me very frequently, hey, how do I accomplish this in our database? Or how do I maximize this type of photo or whatever the case might be? Well, when I get those questions over and over and over, I create video tutorials or written out tutorials and make those available on mpforms.org, our staff website. So one example is that we create name badges for all of the different volunteers that we have at our church as well as our staff. It's a name badge that they will wear at official events or on Sunday morning. Now, I have a lot of people who request name badges for people who don't necessarily need a name badge. In the same way that having a presence on a website legitimizes a ministry initiative when you have no communication strategy, the same thing can happen. A name badge can make somebody feel like they're a legitimate volunteer, but really there's no need to have a name badge whatsoever. And we could go into details on why they would or wouldn't want to have it, but we'll just leave it there, that some people will request a name badge who don't need one. Well, I was getting so many requests for people who wanted name badges for their volunteers, but they didn't need name badges, that I created a page on mpforms.org that did two things. One, it said who and the circumstance surrounding when we would issue a name badge. So who would need a name badge and what would be the circumstance surrounding their need for a name badge. The second thing was it provided clear description on who doesn't get a name badge. So before they even request the name badge, they would be able to determine whether or not they would be issued one at the time of request. And then there's also a request form on mpforms.org where they can go ahead and request the name badge, and it will be sent off to the appropriate people to have the badge created. Another example of a form that we have is our communication request form. And I use something called Mock Form, and you can check it out, appnitro.com. And it's appnitro.com, appnitro.com. And our form implements a set of intelligence. So based upon the selections a staff member makes, different fields will be available for them to fill in. And the questions that we ask in that communication form, if they fill it out completely and do a good job of giving us information, we will not have to keep going back and forth, trying to get the appropriate information. It handles everything at the front end. When they fill that out, again, it gets routed to the people who need that form. The last thing that we have on there, well, we've got lots of things, but the last thing I want to share with you is I find it amazing how people are not wired like me. I shouldn't be surprised, but I have a ton of websites in my brain just memorized. You probably do too. Websites that you visit all the time. Well, not everyone is like us. Sometimes they need bookmarks for everything. They need bookmarks for Google. They need bookmarks for even your church's website. That's how they work. So when you go to mpforms.org, on the very homepage, you will find 9 bookmarks for services and websites that our people use regularly. It's a way that I can even provide that website for a new person and say, hey, here's all the resources that you're going to need, and it kind of gives them a starting point. So redoing MP forms is one thing that I've been working on. Another thing that I've been working on has been what I'm calling just free stock photography. Over the last 5 years, I have been taking photos to use for everything on our church website, all of our communication. I would say 97% of all of our photos that we use are original. And so what I've done is I've started to make those photos available for anybody and everybody to use, to download, to use for events, to use for blog posts, whatever you want. And the website is photos.shrinemedia.co. photos.shrinemedia.co. I add a new photo every single day. So if you'd like to check it out, I just uploaded 6 high-resolution images of the cross that would be great for any Easter period or any time you're doing anything that you need a picture of a cross. They're just fabulous pictures of the cross that we have on our campus. So those are a couple things that I'm working on. What are you guys working on? What are you putting your effort, your time towards? What are you proud of? Tweet out, copying me, at Dave Shrine is my Twitter handle. Tweet out after you listen to this episode what it is you are proud of that you have accomplished. Would love to celebrate with you in that, and would love to even hear more about that. So if it looks like it would be something that would be helpful for the community at large, I can share it in a future episode. Okay, what we're going to do now, we're going to get into this week's talk. This week's talk is with my buddy Tim Peters. You've heard me talk about Tim in the past, and I am thrilled that he agreed to take some time here with us during the month of June to talk about something that I think is just fantastic. Tim and I have had many conversations on effective communication practices, and he has identified some of the strongest language I have heard to date to articulate what our job, what our role is as communication director, communication pastor, social media directors. He has got some great language, and he dives deep into it. And he also talks about a conference that he has coming up called the Simply Communicate Conference. And I'll share a little bit more about that after the break, but we're just going to get right into it now. My conversation with Tim Peters. So have a listen. I'll catch you on the flip side. All right. So really jazzed about this one. I have got Tim Peters on the line here, on the Skype line. Tim, say hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Really glad that you're here. Tim and I were just talking a few seconds before I pressed record, and I was asking Tim, so Tim, what is it that you're actually doing? And he gave me just a great answer. He says, you know, Dave, what we're doing right now is producing resources and putting together conferences that are going to help people communicate better, and ultimately resources that are going to help churches grow. And I love that, because if there's one thing that we are focused on here at the Church Marketing Podcast, it is actually communicating better. So, Tim, really glad to have you coming on and speaking to this issue of church communication and church marketing. So thank you.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, Dave.
No problemo. Glad to have you. So I figured the best place to start is at the ground. Anybody who knows my history with Tim knows that I called Tim over a year ago, kind of distraught, kind of feeling alone, and basically saying, Tim, I don't know what the heck that I'm doing. Where do I start? And we had just a great conversation. A good friendship has formed out of that, which a side note, if you are not on Twitter, or if you're not engaging with platforms such as Facebook, or looking for church communicators online, you are missing out. There is a community out there that will lean in and encourage you exactly where you are at, not make you feel bad about yourself, but make you feel good about the things you're succeeding at. Tim's one of those guys that did it for me. Tim, let's just start at the beginning where we were at with that call. I don't even know where to start in church communications, but I know that my church has a story to tell. Where would you advise me? If I was talking to you again right now, first time, where would you tell me to start? What questions would I need to be asking myself?
Yeah, that's a great question in itself. You know, Dave, just after, 10 plus years of working with churches and communications, it took me a long time, honestly, to boil it down to just some very, very basics. Like many people, as I started in church communications, I thought that by doing everything was a good thing. Instead, it actually destroyed what I was trying to accomplish. And so over the time, I recognized that, there's really 5 basics for me, what I filter church communications through to make sure that they're simplified and effective. The first one is I would ask the question is, do you know your story? Mm-hmm. Meaning, do you know where you're going? Who you are, why you exist, why it matters to people.
Yeah.
Know that story. And I'm a big fan of vision and mission statements. Don't get me wrong, but the more I am seeing in communications is that it's easier for a person sitting in your church congregation to tell a story than it is to share a mission or vision statement.
Oh, that is so good. I've never thought about it that way. I like that. I'm going to write that down right now.
Yeah. Think about it. Anybody can be a storyteller, and most people enjoy telling stories. When I go on vacation and I come back, I love to tell stories about my vacation with my friends and family. So it's easy. It's natural versus, okay, now what is our mission statement again?
Yes.
So it's identifying that story and sharing that with people on a regular basis so they get an idea of why you do exist and where you're going. And at the same time, Dave, these people, now that they know your story and it's kind of embedded in their minds, is they can go out and they almost share it in their own narrative.
Yeah.
And it's totally okay.
Yeah.
We're working with one church right now, and they're known for prayer, urgency, passion, love, humility. And so when people leave the church, we simply want them to tell the story using words that are similar to those words.
Yeah.
So they're just going out and they're just sharing the story of the church with people. And it can be much more effective that way.
I love that. Well, it's along this principle of, you know, a lot of times we think, especially when we're in a youth group, I think you used to be a youth pastor. And so tell me if you remember this, but like, if I can just get my friend to come talk to my pastor, then he'll be able to become a Christian or she'll be able to become a Christian. Like they'll know the magic words. When the truth is like, as a pastor, I don't know the language of your friend, 'cause I don't have that history. I don't have that background. Whereas when you guys are hanging out together, you know, no matter what age, you know what common language you use, and you could tell that story in a way that's going to actually make a deeper heart connection than any, you know, church pastor really could. I mean, does that make sense, that parallel that I'm drawing there?
Yeah, it makes total sense, man.
So love that. Love that.
Yeah, for sure. And then the second question I would ask is, now, how are we going to share this story?
Mm.
And, the other one would be, so you got your story, now you got your standards.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say standards, I'm really referring to what people in the corporate world would call a style guide or a brand standards document.
Okay.
And so when we bring that up to churches, they're like, whoa, we can't do stuff like that. and I'm like, yes, you can, because that's how you're going to protect the story of your church. And so when we're referring to standards, we're talking about that you're using consistent colors, fonts, mm-hmm. shapes, images, mm-hmm. identity, and keeping in mind that the logo is just it's the gateway into the brand.
Yeah.
And so you've got to have standards in place, because if not, this is what's going to happen. And you know this is true with churches. Any church leader listening to the podcast knows that there are very bad, atrocious logos all throughout the church.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with a bad logo because you have no standards, or more than likely you back up, you didn't know who you were.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got a bad logo, and then all of a sudden that bad logo is like a spider when it has babies. It breeds
mm-hmm.
another 15 to 20 bad logos within the same church.
Yep.
And then if you do have a decent logo, a lot of times it's hijacked and it's used in so many different ways that it ruins what you've been trying to accomplish.
Well, it hijacks it, and sometimes you look at it and it looks like somebody put your logo on SlimFast, you know? Like, it's like, wow, I had no idea that our logo was 5 inches tall and half an inch wide. You know what I mean? It's just like, looks bizarre. And one thing that you hit on about 30 seconds ago, and I really want to just emphasize this, is the concept that your brand is not your logo, right? I think we get these confused. What'll happen is, well, we need a logo. And so you wind up producing your brand based around the way your logo looks. Like if I just slap a logo on it, now all of a sudden it has some sort of legitimacy or some sort of you know, clout to it. And really it's not, it's the opposite. It's what you're talking about. It's having a guide that says, this is who we are and this is how we express that. And I want to say, I've got one that we have yet to implement at my church, but I will share it in the show notes as a way for people to look at. It's an excellent, excellent style guide that was done for us by one of my buddies, Zach, and I'll put that up there. So, but continue on, Tim. I don't want to hijack the conversation. I just want to emphasize that.
That'd be a phenomenal resource for your audience. And so now when you have your story, you've got your verbal identity. It's the words that you use to describe who you are as a church. And then the standards are really what is your visual identity. It's going to protect how you communicate your story in a visual way. Yes. The third thing that I would highly recommend, and they're all S's, so it'll be easy to remember, story, story, standards, and the next one is strategy.
This is the big one, isn't it?
This is the big one. Because you can have a great story. You can have, you know, very, very sophisticated brand standards. But if you don't have a strategy on how, when, what, why, and to whom you're communicating to, kiss it goodbye.
Yeah.
Nobody will know your story. Because what will happen is that if you don't have a communication strategy, you'll be left with communicating everything. And then if you communicate everything, what you're actually doing is not communicating anything.
Yeah.
So it's a tongue twister, but it's absolutely true.
Well, and let me paint the scenario. The scenario is, right, like you're sitting in your office as the communications director, and you have, you know, I won't say ministry, you have ministry A come in and say, hey, we've got this big event. This is our signature event for the year. Never mind what the big church is doing, what you're doing, you know, church-wide. This is their big event, and all of a sudden they want primetime exposure for this event. And it might be a great event. Right? It might be really worthwhile. But then what happens the next day is you've got Ministry B coming in and doing the exact same thing. And without that strategy, without saying this is the order, this is the hierarchy, this is the way we organize and communicate things, you're left being the no person. And nobody likes being the no person, man. We've all been there, right? You've been there. Oh, yeah. I've been there. It's a crappy place to be.
Right. Yeah, and two, you know, the key with this communication strategy is if you produce this strategy in a bubble with either yourself or only a communications team or group of volunteers, if you don't get senior leader buy-in, it's not going to go very far.
Yes.
So if the senior pastor, executive pastor, whoever's at the top, if they own it and get it and endorse it to the rest of the staff, it's going to be a whole lot easier for you. Also, speaking about nobody wants to be the no guy, which is absolutely true, or the no girl on that matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's what I learned was is that when people come in, they have a passion for their ministry, and it's great, and I'm pleased that they do have a big heart for what they're doing. So I learned to take a posture of yes.
Mm.
So instead of using the word no, I used the word yes, but I used it in a different way. So if they wanted XYZ, but that was not going to be seamless into our strategy, then I would find other ways to give them what they needed.
Yeah.
So they're leaving with a yes versus, man, that guy's a jerk, and all he does is say no.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I mean, you're building. I mean, the last podcast I talked about building relationships and knowing people and understanding their personal stories so that as you lean into, you know, giving your no with a yes, like you could speak that language that they understand to know that you are a champion for them and you want to see them succeed as opposed to, sorry, no, we're not doing that.
Exactly. Yep. And here's the kicker. So if you know your story, that's great. If you have brand standards in place, so you know, you protect the way you share your story, and then you got your strategy.
Yeah.
The next one, I got to be honest with you, Dave, I absolutely cannot stand this next one. it's probably the most crucial. It's again, it's another S. It's called systems.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am not that guy. I'm a dreamer. I don't even want to think about developing or doing, but. I was wise enough over time of making horrible decisions that spending time developing and crafting systems on how you're going to communicate with your church, with your staff and community on a daily basis is going to pay off in the long run.
Yeah.
Because people think systems and they think restrictions. Well, actually, what systems do and brand standards do is it frees you up to be more creative.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're going to communicate, you know, how you're going to communicate. And all of a sudden you're thinking to yourself like, wow, we're more productive than we were without systems.
Yep. Well, the decisions have already been made.
Yep.
Right. It's just a matter of implementing them. Decisions have already been made. You made those decisions. I liken it to, joining the military or some sort of a long-term commitment organization. When you join the military, you don't make the decision once you're in the military whether or not you're going to follow orders. You made that decision when you enlisted. Once that decision was made, it's already decided what you're going to do. You're going to follow the orders that have been laid out for you by your superiors. And I think that's exactly what these five S's are leaning into, right? Like, it's leaning into those decisions have already been made, and now it's just using a system to facilitate, you know, what's going where. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely, because You know, I think communications is the one department within the church that, I'm using quotation marks, abused.
Yeah.
Meaning that as a communications director, I wouldn't walk into the women's ministry area and say, this is how you need to do your ministry. Mm-hmm. Or I wouldn't go to the worship pastor and say, why aren't you doing these songs?
Yeah.
That they are the leader. They're the right fit for that position.
Mm-hmm.
I am not. So, you know, over time, as you build trust with people, you need to act more as the expert. And it's versus them coming in and telling you as a communications director what they want.
Right.
It's, like you said, it's already predetermined.
Yeah.
And we're the experts. We're the ones studying. We're the ones finding resources. We're the one that are controlling all of this. And so our job as church communication directors is to make sure the story of our church is not lost or forgotten in the chaos of all the communication requests that we receive on a daily basis.
Amen. And I think that is one of our greatest spiritual responsibilities, because the truth is our story is the story that God gave us. Mm-hmm. And when we don't protect that, when we don't place a hedge of protection around that story, why we are where we are, doing what we are doing for the people that we're doing it for, when we do not protect that, when we do not honor that, us as communications directors and communications pastors and anybody who is charged with, protecting that story, we do not follow through with what God has called us to do. The story of the church is worth protecting, and you're exactly right. Like we've got to protect that story and tell it in a way that communicates and makes sense. Amen.
Yeah, for sure. And the deal is that these first four S's really are going to help you be more proactive than reactive.
Yeah.
Because you know this, man, some people in your church, pastors on your church, church leaders, whoever, if you don't do a good job of communicating your story, somebody else is going to start talking about and making up your story.
Yep.
And you don't want it that way.
No.
Because you're the ones that are dialing in and connecting with God and asking God, who are we and what do you want us to do specifically in the community that you have placed us?
Yeah.
And, you know, I think with communication directors, it's time, if you're not already, be bold.
Yes.
Demand, ask for in a humble and gracious way that you need time with your senior pastor, mm-hmm. your key leaders. If you're not on the leadership team or a leadership team, you need to be connected with them in some way, form, or fashion.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, God is probably going to be speaking very clearly to the senior pastor and the leaders of the church on who they are. And you got to be dialed in on that.
Yes.
And they need you. Those two relationships just need to be absolutely seamless.
That's good. And there's something that I actually meant to include in the episode where I talked about recruiting volunteers, and I'll include it here, is what you just said. Like, God is going to be speaking to the senior leadership. He's placed them in that position to lead the organization that you are a part of. And it's not our job as communications directors to decide what will be communicated. That's the responsibility of your leadership team, of your elder board, whoever is directing the church. That's their responsibility to say, this is who we are and this is where we're going. It's your responsibility to then help prioritize the messages that come through in a way that honors the direction that God has called the church to go and that your leadership is going. Did I say that right? Did I make that clear enough?
I would have one addition would be, is that, yes, like they're responsible from hearing from God and dissecting who they are, where they're going. I would say in the most ideal situation would be the communications director is a part of that process.
Yeah.
Meaning that they're either leading the church through thinking that way, they're a part of the team who's asking God about these questions, but mm-hmm. they're a part of that because I do find it very, very difficult for, you know, a senior pastor walks into the communications director and set office and says, look, this is who we are, this is where we're going. Now own it, which is good, which is fine, and it could be appropriate, versus if that communications director is involved in that process, there's so much more ownership, commitment to making sure that it is top priority.
That internalization of mm-hmm. the message. That's good. So we've got here, you talked about story, standards, strategy, and systems. Is there anything else that you would say plays a key part in when you're starting your church communication and you're trying to be effective at what you're doing?
Yeah, it's the final S, and what we call the simply communicate process, and that's staff. And it can, this, when I say staff, I'm not necessarily, it's not always going to be paid staff.
Mm-hmm.
So staff could be volunteers. It could be other people who are responsible for mm-hmm. communications, but there has to be people, a person, a group that is responsible for the communications of the church. Meaning that they're the ones who are making sure that the strategy, the standards, the systems are all flowing in the right direction, and there's momentum being picked up, and they're mm-hmm. monitoring what is communicated and how mm-hmm. it's communicated. And, you know, if you're on a church staff right now or you're a volunteer, I mean, that's something, again, that you need to weigh in on with key leaders on the importance of church communications and mm-hmm. why there's got to be people that are overseeing and being responsible for church communications. Mm-hmm. It's a huge part. And then volunteers is part of what I consider staff. And I mean, you know, you and I have conversations about this quite often, and it's not the easiest thing to do in the world is to not recruit, mobilize, and send out
yeah.
volunteers. It's just not. But yeah. it's very rewarding for them, and it will be very helpful for you. And so part of this staffing could be is the idea of training and raising up volunteers that mm-hmm. that can help push the right message out the doors.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Now, so you just said in the Simply Communicate process. Now, that's actually the and the reason why I wanted to bring you on now is because that is the title of the online conference that you're putting on in July. Now, I've already signed up. Just FYI out there, like I paid. Tim's not giving me, you know, a special discount in exchange for bringing him on. No, I paid. Like the second that I saw that it was out there, I said, this is an easy win for me, my church, and my team. So I'm going to be tuning in to this conference that you're putting on coming up here in July. I mean, I'm just looking at the names. Like you've got relationships with John Acuff, Justin Wise, Matt McKee, Jenny Rain, just a lot of really great people. Kelly Hartnett, someone I'm very excited to talk to and get to know. But you just got some really great people who I have been following, and I can affirm that these people know what they're talking about, not because, you know, they're any more, you know, blessed by God than you or me, but because they've put in the work, they've put in the effort, they've put in the hours to hone in on their craft. So Tim, like, I just want to give you free rein, like talk about it, like help inspire me even more. I mean, I'm already sold on it.
Yeah.
It's the best deal that I think you can pay for this type of content with these types of speakers, but sell me on it a little bit more. Get me a little bit more excited
for sure.
Here.
You know, it's simplycommunicate.co. And the whole idea came from is that when I would go speak at church conferences, I could just see each year the attendance was rising. There were more people, more passion. And this year, unfortunately, Echo Conference and Create Conference in Canada won't be around this year.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to do an online conference, and I thought this would be the very best time. And so that's what we did. We're filling a need that's out there because
yes.
people do want to be trained on church communications. And we're doing it in a way, though, Dave, where it's extremely affordable for any mm-hmm. church. Literally, if you got 10 people in your church, you can pull together $49 to get educated on simple communications. It's called Simply Communicate because it's time. It's time that the church really does simplify communications and not make it hard, not make it chaotic, not make it cluttered, but just really simplify and streamline and be more effective in how they communicate to the people in their church and their community. And we're doing the conference for one big reason, and that is so you can communicate better to reach and engage more people. That we believe with a clear, inspiring message from your church will engage and reach more people. It will. And the conference, through all of our speakers, and I'm blessed, Dave. I asked you, but you didn't say yes, so maybe next time. I know you're busy. I'm just blessed that God put me in the path of these great people and given me favor and relationships with them and them coming along and sharing their knowledge with hundreds of people online. And that's what they're going to do. All of these sessions are going to be teaching on one of these five basics of communications, so story, standard, strategy, systems, and staff. And I got to tell you, they're all phenomenal. I've already done the video with John Acuff, and he talks a lot about the story. And that alone, man, I promise, it's like 27 minutes of pure goodness that is it's just going to knock your socks off. Man, he's brilliant. And he's got a lot of wisdom, and especially for the churches. So we did it in a way too, Dave, in conclusion, is it is online. And, you know,
yeah.
You're not driving somewhere. You're not getting flights. You're not getting hotels. I totally get it. That's fun, you know, because you get to meet people face to face. But we guarantee that it will be interactive. We're going to use Twitter and mediasocial.tv to make sure that we're chatting and we're connecting. And you will find community and you will be encouraged.
That's good. Now, let me just say this. I was a part of an online conference about 2 weeks ago. And I was a little skeptical. I saw a couple names that I recognized. And so I was like, okay, I'll tune in. Man, Tim, I got to tell you, within like 5 minutes, the Twitter conversation just blew up. I mean, people were super fired up about the content that was being shared. And the reason was because it was valuable. I mean, I think that's a key word here. Like what we do here on the Church Marketing Podcast, like we want it to have value. We want it to be of value. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes to make stuff even more valuable, you've got to bring it together in a conference session like that where you can hear from some of these most influential names. And I don't know if I'm going to say this the way that I want to, but essentially, like, you look at some of the people that you're bringing in here, and there is no way that you could learn the things that they're going to talk without hearing them, without hearing their story and all their experience. Because that's the thing, like, you look at John Acuff, and I mean, I know a little bit about his story, and just what we're going to hear is, yes, we're going to hear stuff that he's talking about now, but it's going to be a culmination of all of the things that he has been learning over the last several years of his life. And I mean, really his life in general. And I mean, that's just, there's great value. There is richness there. So I want to invite y'all, go to simplycommunicate.co, check it out. The really great thing is that it is incredibly affordable. You talk about going to a conference. I think I went to one last year and I think I spent something like $1,700. It was worth it to me, but that's not something that everybody can do. And that's not something that everybody can do every year. So, yeah. At the time of this airing, it's going to be a regular church price of $79. Now, what if they can't make it? If they're not able to make it that day, do you have anything for them? Is there a way that they can still engage?
Yeah, for sure. If they buy it, let's see here, in the next few days, it's still $49.
Okay.
And that also guarantees that you'll have access to the conference video file.
Great.
Going forward. And I'm sure, you know, we'll be gracious enough after they pay $79 that they'll still have access to it as well.
Okay.
If you can't watch it on July 29th, we totally understand it's summer, it could be on vacation, whatnot. Now, it'll be advantageous for you because you'll be able to engage with a lot of people.
That's huge.
But if your whole team can't watch it, then they can watch it at a different point, and you can take it with you on a retreat. You can do whatever you want with it.
Good.
Absolutely, man.
Good. If you guys have any questions, reach out to Tim. He's very responsive. He's a great guy. Become a really good friend of mine. I'm honored to have you, Tim. Thank you so much. I know your time is precious, and I appreciate that you shared it with us today.
Thanks, Dave. Blessings, man.
All right. Thank you. So I don't know about you, but that is just good stuff. I really love how Tim broke it down into those five S's. Just really practical, really accessible, no matter where you are at in your communication building spree at your church, those five S's, just super, super helpful. So one thing that, I mean, there's so much that I could talk about, but one thing that Tim keyed in on that I really wanted to speak to was this idea of having a presence in the room, having a seat at the table. Now, I feel fortunate because at my church, I am in that room and I do have a seat at that table, but that is not the reality for many of the people who are going to be listening right now to the Church Marketing Podcast. You are most likely, if the statistics are true, you are most likely on the outside of that room. You have your direct report who has a seat at that table, but you as the communications director do not. And it can be frustrating, but it doesn't have to be painful. It doesn't have to be as discouraging as maybe you have felt in the past. And what I want to do right now is I want to give you a few ways that you can be in the room when you are not in the room, okay? Now, these are not necessarily going to be perfect for everybody, and they are not going to necessarily be exactly prescriptive of how you should go about doing it, because all relationships are different. All church structures are different, but these are some general guidelines from which you can glean some overarching principles that hopefully, when employed, will allow you to be in the decision-making room, in the vision room, even when you're not in that room. And the first one that I want to share with you is connect with your superior or whoever you are closest to that's actually in the room regularly. And when you connect with them, be asking questions about anything and everything as it relates to communication. And just a couple sample questions would be to ask things like, so what's the big picture of this event? Or what do we think success is going to look like as it relates to this initiative? So ask good questions to somebody, to the closest person who you are in relationship with, who is in the room. The next thing that you can do is you can tell leadership or executive members how excited you are to help them and help contribute to the success of their initiative, whatever it is that they are heading up, expressing to them how jazzed you are to be contributing to that success, and then to ask them to share what they're excited about as it relates to that item. So just hearing their heart, you know, why are we doing this? You know, what is it that you really feel excited about? What need do you really think this is going to meet for the people of our church? And allow them to share their passion for what it is that you are doing as a church. The next thing is to report back on the successes that you are experiencing via your communication. Now, there's many ways that you can do this. You can do this by tracking social media. You can do this by anecdotal evidence. You can do this by using Google Analytics. The important thing is to have things in place to gauge the success of your event and report back to your leader, to those executive leaders whom you have relationship with. It's not a bragging session. It's not a puffing the chest session. But what it is echoing excitement on how things came to be successful for a particular event. The next item that I have here for you is to ask questions about how you can continue to improve your performance and ask for help understanding the why behind the what before you engage in your next initiative. So to your direct report, say, hey, here's what we did last time. How can I improve that? And as we step into this next initiative, can you share with me a little bit more of the why behind the what we are trying to do? So it just gives you a little bit more insight, a little bit more fodder to use to kind of ignite the vision for your communication strategy. Here's a really simple one, and hopefully you have relationship with your leader or with executive leaders to where this is doable. But do lunch with your superiors or those who you're closest to who are in that room, and just listen to what they have to share. Just listen to what comes out of their mouth, what comes out of their heart. Shoot the breeze with them. Don't necessarily have an agenda. Just do life with them, and from doing life with them, you will glean priceless information. Priceless vision. The last thing that I have made a note of here is to take opportunities when you are near the senior pastor or the lead pastor or that senior leader to ask where elements of his or her message came from. Okay? To ask about, hey, I heard you use that illustration on Sunday. Where did that come from? What made you think of that? What were you really trying to convey with that? Just ask them about their message. Ask them about what it is that drove them to the point where they shared the things that they did. And you will be very, very surprised to hear the fountain of wisdom, knowledge, communication fodder, and all sorts of goodness that comes out of them when you take an interest and what they're doing. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different ways that you can be in the room when you are not in the room. If you are currently not in the room, but you have found a way to, I guess, to repeat myself, to be in the room, really, I would love to hear that. Please tweet me at Dave Shrine And if it's a way that is accessible to the larger church communication body, I would love to share that on the next episode and be able to share your Twitter handle with the rest of our community so that they can get in touch with you and ask further questions. So reach out, communicate with us, let us know what it is that you are doing that could benefit the rest of our community. Guys, as we're wrapping up here, I just wanted to lean into a little bit more of the Simply Communicate. If you register right now, it's going to be $79, and that will pay for as many people from your church who wants to participate in Tim's Simply Communicate conference. The names that he has booked so far are John Acuff, Justin Wise, who was with us back in May, Matt McKee, John Michael Morgan, Stephen Brewster, who does a lot of work with the Center for Church Communication and writes on churchmarketingsucks.com, Brandon Cox, Steve Fogg, Jenny Rain, Nils Smith, Josh Burns, who is one of my buddies and has done a couple sneak peek episodes with us, Mark McDonald, Brady Shearer, and Kelly Hartnett. That's just a great lineup. That is almost a dozen. It might even be a dozen. I'm not going to take the time to count now. But that is a bunch of wisdom right there, packed back to back to back to back to back to back, and you get the picture. So get registered, simplycommunicate.co. $79 pays for your entire church. And if you do participate, let me know. I want to connect with you using the hashtag when the conference is live. The next thing that I want to do is I want to tell you how you can get your senior leader, your senior pastor or lead pastor to value church communications even more. Are you ready? Here's the silver bullet. Kind of, not really, but here's the silver bullet. Rate and review. Leave an honest review for this podcast on iTunes. And you say, how does that help the senior pastor, the senior leadership, you know, value communications more? Here's why. Ratings and reviews are incredibly powerful for boosting, for causing an episode to rise in the podcast rankings on iTunes. It's incredibly powerful. And let me give you a sneak peek at how powerful it is. There was a day where we had two ratings and two reviews, and it bumped the Church Marketing Podcast all the way up to number 125 on the iTunes Christianity charts. So if you hear this podcast and immediately go and leave a review, if we get enough people to do that, it will bump the exposure of the Church Marketing Podcast into some of those podcasts that church leaders are downloading, that your senior pastor is downloading on a regular basis from iTunes. There are some incredible leaders. Andy Stanley is the one that everybody knows, but then Perry Noble, there's obviously a lot of really high-profile pastors who have podcasts that are being downloaded. If we can get the Church Marketing Podcast to show up in between some of these high-ranking, high-influential podcasts, there's a good likelihood that our senior pastors will begin downloading them and take an interest in church communications. And hopefully that will lean into us gaining a seat at the table. So go to iTunes, rate the podcast, leave an honest review. I would appreciate that. So guys, we're going to wrap it up here. My name is Dave Schrein, and you can find me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @DaveSchrein. And if you want to learn more about me and what I'm doing, check out my blog, DaveSchrein.com. If you would like to leave a comment on this podcast, you can go to churchmarketingsucks.com/003, as in our third episode. Leave a comment, leave a question, and check out the show notes. Everything that we have referenced in today's episode is going to be available in the show notes at churchmarketingsucks.com/003. Guys, it has been a pleasure. I hope you have a fantastic summer. I hope your 4th of July is just relaxing and energizing, and you get to see some incredible fireworks. We are going to hit the ground running in the month of July. We have some great things in store as we plan to kick off August nationwide and even worldwide with church communications. So until next time, Schrein out.